Greetings, brethren. Welcome to Sabbath services. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, how we're led by the Holy Spirit, and we're going to talk about how does God, as we covered last time, begin drawing someone, and how does he know when someone is knocking and seeking and asking so that God can respond to them. So let's take a look at the throne room of God. Let's go to Revelation, the fourth chapter. And here we find something very interesting. And here it tells us about the eyes of God. Now we know that God has two eyes himself. And so here is something else concerning the eyes of God. Okay? And they are called the seven spirits of God. So let's come to Revelation 4 and let's see what John saw when he was told to come up and see these things. Verse 2, Revelation 4. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one was sitting on the throne. So he saw in vision the Father. Oh, he didn't see him directly, personally. And remember that in the Old Testament, when God made the tabernacle, everything that the tabernacle was patterned after were the things that were in heaven. And here at the throne of God, then, he has the cherubim. And in this case, it shows there are also four living creatures. Verse 3, and he who was sitting was in appearance like a jasper stone and sardis stone, and a rainbow was around the throne like an emerald in its appearance. Now, I've never been able to quite grasp that, whether it was completely around in a circle, because rainbows, if they are not inhibited by the land, do form a circle. That's why sometimes in the winter you can look up in the sky at a full moon and you see a ring, and that ring, you can't see the colors because it's not directly from the sun, but you can see the ring. And I know when I was a kid, I looked up and I thought, oh, there's a ring around the moon. I thought that was clear up where the moon was. See, that wasn't so. So here's the rainbow. So let's look at it this way. When God said he would set the rainbow as a sign that he would not flood the earth again, this comes personally from God. And of course, all light, the light that you see, as you could look out the window here and see the sun shining, all light has the colors of the rainbow in it when it comes to the earth, but you can't see it unless it hits some moisture and you see the colors. And around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments, and they had on their heads golden crowns. And proceeding from the throne were lightnings and thunders and voices and seven lamps of fire. Now the seven lamps of fire go back to the lampstand that was set on the outside of the Holy of Holies. And it was right there before the priest would go in. And many people believe that the seven lamps on the lampstand represent the churches, because they're seven churches, but they are not. Hold your place right here and come to Revelation, the first chapter. Let's look at it. Now, verse 11, Christ told John when he was in the Spirit on the day of the Lord, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and what you see, write in a book. He wants it written, just like the Old Testament. And send it to the churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and I've often thought about that. You never see a voice, but it was turned to see who was speaking. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. Now notice, it is not a lampstand with seven little vials where they had light. See? These are seven golden lampstands. Now how were they set? They were set in a circle because it says, verse 13, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed in a garment reaching down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden breastplate. Okay? Then it says, come down here to verse 20, the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands that you saw are the seven churches. So that is different than what he was looking at back here in Revelation 4. Let's go back there again to verse 5. And proceeding from the throne were lightnings and thunders and voices and seven lamps of fire, which are the seven spirits of God burning before the throne. So these were the pattern that was given to Moses to make the lampstand right at the entrance of the Holy of Holies. And before the throne was a sea of glass like crystal. Around the throne and over the throne were four living creatures full of eyes before and behind. So this is a little different vision of it than the two cherubim that was over the Ark of the Covenant that God instructed Moses to make. Then it describes them. And let's come down here to chapter 5 and verse 6. Then I saw, and behold, before the throne and the four living creatures and before the elders was standing a lamb, having been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, okay, which are the seven spirits of God. All right, so here are the seven spirits of God in chapter 4 and verse 5 and chapter 5 and verse 6. Now, these then are directed by Christ. These are not the seven churches, because here's what these spirits do. The seven spirits of God that are sent into all the earth. Now, what do they do? How do these seven spirits operate? All right. So there's seven eyes, which are seven spirits of God sent into all the earth. Now, exactly how those work, I couldn't tell you. But we do have a couple of clues as to what the seven eyes do. Let's come here to 2 Chronicles, please. 2 Chronicles, remember that's the first book back from the book of Matthew, 2 Chronicles 15. And what we are going to see is that if we are seeking God, we can find him, and what we will see, that the eyes of God go to and fro in the earth. And so this is very much like a tremendous monitoring system on earth. Are there people seeking God? And if they are, will God notice? And if they are not, will God also notice? How does God keep track of things? Okay? So let's come here to 2 Chronicles 15. Let's begin here in verse 1. Verse 1, 2 Chronicles 15. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. Now that is a very profound statement, isn't it? That's why we are told in Isaiah 55, if you seek him, you will find him. Here we have it. The Lord is with you while you are with him, and if you seek him, he will be found by you, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now, those are some pretty powerful lips. And this also helps answer the question as to why things happen in the world, because people are not seeking God. And as we have discussed, you have to seek God his way. You have to seek God in repentance. That's why, as we were discussing before services, that people turn to God in time of trouble, because somehow they think when there is no trouble, they don't need God. But that's when they really need God, so that he will help you in trouble. So this is really something here. If you seek him, he will be found by you. Now, as we will see, Jesus said, knock, shall be open, seek, and you shall find, ask, and it shall be given. We're also told in John 6:44 that the Father, as we saw last week, draws the individual who is seeking God. Now then, let's continue on here and see what happened. Verse 3, and for a long time Israel has been without the true God. Sound like today? And I thought with this hurricane that's coming on this Sabbath while we're speaking, I wonder if that has anything to do with the fact that perhaps God is letting his presence be known in New York City, where they disinvited God from the 9/11 10-year commemoration. No religious services at all. So you've been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. And when they turned in their trouble to the Lord, God of Israel, and sought him, he was found by them. And in those times there was no peace to him who went out, nor to him who came in, but great tumult was upon all the inhabitants of the lands. Isn't that parallel with what we have today? And nation was destroyed by nation, and city by city, for God troubled them with every adversary. So this is showing when you recover and come back to God, God is going to acknowledge it, but you've got to continue seeking him, and you've got to continue being with him. So here's what Ahaziah told Asa. But you be strong, and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And so then what he did, when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage, put away the abominable idols out of the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and he renewed the altar of the Lord before the porch of the Lord. Then he gathered them all together, and they offered offerings. God blessed them. God was with them. Now, it's not how you start. This is a good start, but it's also how you finish, because he turned from God. After God blessed him, after God fought the battles for him, after God heard his prayers, after they sought God, after they offered the offerings and cleaned out the temple. All right, now, here in the 36th year of the reign of Asa, 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 1, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah so that he might let no one go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah, because there were people going down from Ephraim and Manasseh to the temple. Now, remember that Jeroboam had the temple in Bethel and in Dan. So this meant that if they went to Jerusalem, then they took the offerings and things there, and they didn't bring it to the pagan temple site that they had in Bethel. Now, instead of turning to God, notice what he did. And this is something, this is an object lesson throughout all the book of 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles. Rather than turning to God, rather than saying, God, this is a terrible thing, we're sorry that we have this war from Israel against us. Now, what do you want us to do? No. What he did, he's going to do it on his own. Verse 2, and Asa took silver and gold from the treasuries of the house of the Lord, taking God's money, and of the king's house, and sent them to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, who lived at Damascus. Sound like what we do today? How many treaties do we have? And how many of these friends are against us? Now, if you want some instructive reading, read Ezekiel 16 and Ezekiel 23 about Judah and Israel and how they conducted themselves like prostitutes and whores, giving the blessings that God has given us to our enemies to make friends with them. Well, that's exactly what Asa did here. So here's what he said to him. Let there be a treaty between you and me, as there was between my father and your father. Behold, I have sent you silver and gold. Go break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, so that he may depart from me. Well, if you're going to send gold and silver to me, okay, I'll do it, said old Ben-Hadad. Verse 4, and Ben-Hadad listened to King Asa and set commanders of his army against the cities of Israel and struck Ijon and Dan and Abel-Maim and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass when Baasha heard it, he left off building Ramah and let his work stop. And Asa, the king, took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and the timbers which Baasha was building, and he built with it Geba and Mizpah. All right, sooner or later your deeds are going to catch you out. So, verse 7. At that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Syria, and you have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore, the army of the king of Syria has escaped out of your hand. Then he asked a question. He said, I want you to remember, were not the Ethiopians and Libyans a huge army with chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. Now notice verse 9. Here's the key. This helps answer what we've been studying about the eyes of God, and that Christ is in charge of those, you see. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro in all the earth. So God knows what's going on. God knows those who are his. God knows what's happening in all the nations, all the time. Now, in addition to the seven eyes of God, what else does God have? Well, he has all the angels, doesn't he? And the angels in charge of the nations. And so the angels communicate to God. And remember that they participate in war behind the scenes against Satan and his demons. So the eyes of the Lord run to and fro on all the earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. See, when you leave God and trust in allies and trust in other people, then your heart is not perfect toward God. In this you have done foolishly, therefore from now on you shall have wars. Now Asa could have repented right there. But you see, in every case, repentance also is what? A choice. You have to choose to repent. But notice how Asa reacted. Now compare all of chapter 15 and chapter 16 and see the difference that over that period of time, he left God. And here was his reaction, verse 10. And Asa was angry with the seer and put him in the prison house, for he was in a rage against him because of this. And Asa oppressed some of the people at that time, and behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And in the 39th year of his reign, Asa was diseased in his feet until his disease was grievous. Yet in his disease he did not seek the Lord but the physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 41st year of his reign. So the eyes of God go to and fro, knowing what is going on, as well as the angels with that. Now let's look at some other things concerning the eyes of God. All right. Now, you might ask, what about the two eyes of the Father? Well, you would suppose that they would be on the saints who have God's Spirit begotten by the Father. Same way with Christ. Now, let's come to Psalm 11 and see how we have the confirmation that through the seven eyes, which are the seven spirits, which are before the throne of God, which are sent into all the earth to all nations. And that's why no one can hide himself from God. Let's come to Psalm 11. Now notice just the exact opposite of what Asa did. Here is a psalm of David. And here's what David did when he had troubles and difficulties. And this is what we are to do. Verse 1. In the Lord I've taken refuge. How can you say to me, flee like a bird to your mountain? You can't do it. You can't get away. See? For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on the string so that they may secretly shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? So there's another lesson, isn't it? Don't leave the foundations, and what is that foundation but Jesus Christ? And what are we to do? How are we to build on it? Gold, silver, and precious stone. And actually, the foundation then includes the Word of God. First you have Christ, then you have the Word of God. Verse 4, the Lord is in his holy temple. We saw that. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his searching gaze tests the children of men. Now remember what happened in the days of Abraham when God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? He and two angels came to visit Abraham. And then after they had eaten, God said to the two angels, shall I withhold from Abraham what I'm going to do? So he told him that he was going to go down to Sodom and the other cities there to see if the cry, that is, of their sin, was as bad as was being heard. Well, you know the rest of the story. What happened? So God sends his angels to act, and God also acts. Verse 5, and in all of this, what happens to us? The Lord tries the righteous as well. But his soul hates the wicked and the one who loves violence. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a scorching wind shall be the portion of their cup. Well, have we seen that? I wonder if that sounds a little bit like Texas today. Record days of over 100. No rain. Everything drying up. Wonder when they're going to have to start importing water. I saw some pictures recently where the lakes are just getting down to virtually nothing. And they were hopeful. Remember that tropical storm? They were hopeful that they would get up to 5 inches of rain. Well, it came right up to the southern coast there, right around Houston, and just dissipated. They got a little rain, didn't relieve anything with the drought. And it would seem to me, just a question, just kind of thinking on it a little bit. I wonder if those hard shell Baptists are going to get the point. See? Because you cannot take your way, as the Protestants do and the Baptists do, and go make your voice heard on high. God wants them to repent. Now notice, for the Lord is righteous, he loves righteousness, the upright will behold his face. So there's a good example of it. Come over here. We'll look at a couple more psalms, Psalm 66. Again, we see the same thing. So, you know, isn't it interesting? People can't see what God is doing, but God is doing it. People can't see what Satan is doing, but Satan is doing it. And remember this, Satan can only do what God allows. And what God allows depends upon the conduct of the people, whether it be in the world or whether it be in the church. Okay, verse 7, Psalm 66, not Isaiah, beg your pardon, PSA, Southwest Airlines, rather than ISA, okay. He rules by his power forever. His eyes keep watch upon the nations, the seven eyes of God and the angels of God. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. See law. So you need that means think on this. Okay? Oh, bless our God, O peoples, and make the sound of his praise to be heard. He who keeps us in life and does not allow our feet to slide. For you have tested us, O God. You have refined us as silver is refined. So there again, we're tested. God knows it. All right? Come back here to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Let's pick it up here in verse 11. Psalm 34 and verse 11. Okay? Come, hearken to me, you, you children, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man that desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Everyone wants that. No one wants to die young. But then when they're getting old and everything is wearing out, then it's a different story. Okay? But if you want to see good days, live many days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. So never think that even though the circumstances and difficulties have come upon you, that God won't hear you, because he will. Don't think that God won't answer you, because he will. But we have to seek God, and we have to do the things that are pleasing to him. Notice, don't worry about the wicked, especially when they prosper in this world. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Now, this is absolutely more important for us because we have the Spirit of God, and we're going to talk about the Spirit of God. Right now, we're talking about the seven eyes of God, the seven spirits of God, and the angels, and now you can see we're getting close to coming to the things we need to discuss about the Holy Spirit of God and God dealing with us. Verse 18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are of a contrite spirit. So that's what we have to have. This is the basis of our relationship with God. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. So if you're having troubles and trials, claim these promises. Draw close to God. He can change the circumstances. He can intervene, and he will. So God has the seven eyes, which are the eyes of God, which are going to and fro in the whole earth to see what's going on. This keeps him in communication to know who's seeking him, who he can bless, who he needs to correct. Now, with those who have the Spirit of God in them, when you have trials and difficulties, Christ and God the Father are right there with you because their Spirit is in you, because, as we have seen recently, we are a temple of the living God. So this puts us in a different situation than the seven eyes of God, which are the seven spirits of God. All right? Now, before we get into the Spirit of God, let's understand that there is another spirit operating in the world. Let's come to Ephesians, the second chapter. There's the prince of the power of the air, Satan the devil, and he is the one who is operating in the children of disobedience. And I think operating big time in the governments. You ever wondered why governments are so stupid? Because you have a lot of ungodly people working in government. That's why. And they have their political agendas that they want to fulfill. And those political agendas are against God. And that's why we're in so much trouble. And, you know, we get the leader we deserve. So everybody's complaining about Obama and blaming Obama. But what people need to do is look at the sins of the general population of America and understand those are the real reasons why we're in trouble and why we have Obama. So unless there's some real repentance and God sees that repentance, not too much is going to change. Now let's see this other spirit that's working in the world. Verse 1, Ephesians 2. Now you were dead in trespasses and sins. Long as we're living in sin and without the Spirit of God, we are the dead. And if we follow dead leaders, the dead are going to bury the dead. That's what Jesus said. Same way with the blind. If the blind lead the blind, both are going to fall into the ditch. Now verse 2. In which you walked in times past, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working within the children of disobedience. And as we covered recently, It's just like a net that is around the whole world. But those that God calls, we need to understand this, among whom also we all once. That's why we're not to go back into the world. That's why we are not to try and use the world's ways of success to make our lives better. That's why we're not to fall back into the habit and the pattern of most human beings, that once God has blessed you, that we turn around and do like Asa and try and work out things our own way, because it's not going to work. Once at our conduct in the lust of our flesh, doing the things willed by the flesh and by the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as the rest of the world. All right? When people eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the apparent good looks good, but they can never get rid of the evil. And that's the difficulty when people try to do it their way. See, that's why once we receive the Holy Spirit, as we will see, we have passed from death to life. And Jesus promises that when we die at the end of our lives, we will not see death forever. Now, the King James translates it, shall not die. Well, that's really not what the Greek says, so therefore that adds to the false notion that the souls go to heaven. Okay, let's continue on here. Now, let's talk about the Spirit of God. Let's come back here to John 14, and then we will see how the Spirit of God actually has two parts to it, as we've covered in the past, but we'll go over it again. Now, the other day, I asked Ron to look up a letter that I wrote a couple of years ago, and that was about the possible forming of the Muslim world and the different things that were going on then. So I asked him if he could look up the letter and send it to me, and sure enough, he found the letter, sent it to me, and that was 4 years ago. So I'm going to use that letter, and I'm going to update it and add some things to it, because a lot has happened since that time. And a lot has happened since it looked like the EU was going to be a slam dunk to really be the leader in the world, and now everybody's worried over them that the whole euro will collapse. So you see, that's why we need to keep on top of things to know and understand what's going on. All right, likewise, with what we're going to cover here, I believe I've covered it in a sermon sometime in the past, but I don't know how long ago it was that I did. But here in John 14, we have some very interesting things concerning the Spirit of God. Now, let's come here. Let's begin here in verse 13. Because Jesus was going to the Father, he said, and whatever you shall ask in my name, that's why we close all of our prayers in Jesus' name, this will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And we're also to direct our prayers to the Father. And the main portion of our prayers should be directed to the Father. Some of them can be directed to Jesus, because he said, if you ask in my name, I will do it. Verse 15, if you love me, keep the commandments, namely mine. Now, that's a literal translation of the Greek. And as we know, Jesus was the Lord God of the Old Testament. So that includes the commandments of God and whatever he taught in the New Testament. And I will ask the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that it may be with you throughout the age. Now we're going to talk about the Spirit of God. Even the Spirit of the truth. We'll see this again. The Spirit of the truth. That's what the Holy Spirit of God is to do to us, to help us overcome our deceitful nature, to help us overcome the wickedness of our hearts, and to help us overcome when we repent and yield to God when we find that we have sinned, which the world cannot receive. Now, why can't it receive it? Number one, because it perceives it not, nor knows it. and this in the Greek is neuter all the way through. There is no personality to the Spirit. But you know it because it dwells with you and shall be within you. So let's put together what we have learned about the seven spirits of God and the Spirit of God so far. The seven spirits of God go through all the earth to keep track of what's going on and to find out who is seeking God. When then they are seeking God in earnest, then the Holy Spirit from the Father comes to begin to draw that individual, as we have seen in John 6 and verse 44. Now the Holy Spirit will be with them if they continue to seek God and do His will. Now we also know that when we are baptized, the Holy Spirit is within us. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. And shall be within you. Now, when it's within you, then you are converted. When it's with you, you have to yield to God and the Spirit of God, or you remain, as some of the disciples that Jesus said, oh, hard-hearted and slow to believe. See? You have to yield to God. And once the Spirit of God is drawing you, you have to respond to God. Otherwise, the Spirit of God will leave you. All right, let's go ahead and take a break.